I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the word of the Lord.
So at the beginning of the year, we are talking about the main thing, discipleship. Your discipleship and my discipleship. We're talking about our mission. The mission that God gives every church, every believer, from Matthew 28, which is to go and make disciples of all nations. Every believer, every church, our statement of our mission is an outgrowth of Matthew 28, which is, we exist to build disciples by living out God's word, reaching out into the community, and bringing people to Jesus. Discipleship, we're not just talking about 12 bearded guys in Scripture, of course. We're talking about you and me, believers in Jesus. If we are a believer in Jesus, we are called, first of all, to be disciples. And as we learn to be disciples, we can encourage others, because we're also called to make disciples. So we're really trying to live into that. That's really a new vision for the church, in a sense. It's always been there, but now living that out more fully. My first role as one of the pastors at Resurrection is to be a disciple of Jesus. By his grace, learning to be a bit more like Christ. There are many aspects of discipleship, but I'm going to talk about three aspects of discipleship, focusing on this. First of all, discipleship is about our living our lives in Christ and pruning. It's about abiding in Jesus. And it's about bearing fruit. We're called to bear much fruit. So first of all, discipleship is about living life in Christ and pruning. If I could have that slide, please. In verse 1, if you would look at our reading for today, it says, Jesus says, I am. That is the divine name. He is God incarnate. Jesus says, I am. I am God. I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine grower. When Jesus' disciples heard this, of course, it was understood in the Old Testament that the people of Israel were described as the vine, or the vineyard of God. We read in Isaiah 5, 7, the prophet declares, the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. The vine is actually a symbol of Israel. It's an emblem on their coins. There was this sense that Israel, it was to impart divine life by virtue of their connection to God the Father. But they failed to be the true vine from which God desired to give life to the world. And if you think about it, just think of the people of Israel. God chose, for whatever reason, in his sovereign grace and mercy, to choose little old Israel out from all the nations of the world. In his sovereign grace, this people, God's people, and God sought to establish them and provide for them. God rescued them, of course, from the bondage in Egypt. He provided for them a rich land flowing with everything they needed. Again, God established them as his people. He gave them the law to guide their lives, the prophets to call the people of Israel back when they strayed. But, unfortunately, Israel failed to be that true vine. God wanted to use this people in such a privileged way to make known who he is to the world, his goodness, his grace, his love, to make his glory known who God is to the world, but they failed to do so. Instead, they produced bad fruit. Wild grapes is the way it's referred to. Like Israel today, you and I are called to be these branches, if you will, connected to Jesus, the divine life of God. That we are called to be these branches that give life to a dying world. And if you think about it, why are we here? It's not because we're such good Christians. It's because we've been called by the gospel. The Spirit has blessed the truth of Jesus, his love and forgiveness into our lives. We have received the forgiveness of sins, the newness of life. God has given us the Spirit to rely upon, to guide our lives, to strengthen us for whatever he calls us to do. But unfortunately, we often fail to be that branch, those branches connected to the true vine, Jesus, God incarnate. To fail to be the branches and impart the life of God to a dying world. We, of course, find ourselves astray from time to time, easily swayed by the values and priorities, the acquiring of things and living life on worldly terms. We get busy, we get distracted. We experience judgment because our lives don't work so well. We so easily, of course, sin creeps in. And we persist in it. Unconfessed sin. There's things such as unresolved conflicts and hurts and resentments. These are just a few of the things that block divine life flowing into our lives. And that really does bring us to the aspect of pruning. Our scripture tells us there in the second part, Jesus says, "My Father is the vine grower." God the Father tends to the vine so that we have life in Jesus. And so, God, our loving God Father, prunes away these wild growths, if you will, in our life. Prunes them away so that we grow and derive life from Jesus. Jesus said, "I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly." And so we experience this pruning as legitimate sons and daughters. We read in verse 2, "He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit." If you are a believer in Jesus, you're called to be a disciple, and as a disciple, you will be pruned. You will be pruned. Pruning really is about our Father putting to death the sinful part of us, the flesh that seeks life on our own terms apart from God, according to our own understanding. Truly, discipleship is a way of the cross. It is the way of the cross. It's about submission to God, dying to sin, and being raised up. Now, there are a lot of gospels out there, if you will, prosperity gospel. Oh, God's best life for you now. Hey, if I'm blessed by God, I'd have a Ferrari, right? If I'm blessed by God, my children ought to be happy all the time. I live in a nice palatial home, right? Oh, those things are fine. God blesses God's people. He loves them. It's more about life in Christ. And sometimes that's cruciform. Grapes get crushed. Sometimes it's cruciform. And it's hard. It's submission, dying to sin, being raised up with Christ. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a book, The Cost of Discipleship. And he said, opening line, when God calls a Christian, he calls him or her to come die. Bonhoeffer was born in 1904. He was a German pastor. Professor. He lived, of course, the ascent of the, or descent, I should say, the reign of Nazi Germany and Hitler. Bonhoeffer could have had an easy professorship and had one on the East Coast, and there he is, he says, but guess what? I can't participate in the German nation's life if I'm not also willing to engage in the present struggle. So he left that professorship. He felt called, led as a disciple. So an attempt on Hitler's life, a failed attempt, he was in prison. 2 days before Germany was liberated, they brought Bonhoeffer to the gallows that he hung. Cost of discipleship, crushed grapes. It's challenging being a Christian, friends. Oh, there's joy, right? The joy is after we experience the pruning hand of God, God giving us life, we know more than ever that God is faithful, that God is good. But when you're in the midst of it, it's hard to understand. Amen to that? It is so hard to understand. And it seems like it goes on forever. You know, grapevines, it's hard to understand. Here they are. You know, the branches shoot out. They're lush green. But the vine grower lops off those branches for the first 3 years before the vine is allowed to produce grapes. And the point is, so that the branches are better, more connected to the vine stock. So that they, when they do produce grapes, the branches don't break off. They're sturdier. As mentioned, it's hard to understand. But a disciple is willing to submit to the disciplined hand of God. That's what it means to be a legitimate son or daughter, willing to submit to the discipline of God. It develops our character. It deepens our faith. It leads to bearing fruit. These words from John are some of the most challenging but true words in Scripture. They're all true, of course, but spoken to me. Very truly, I tell you, Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. If it dies, it bears much fruit. You've all been through a season of pruning, haven't you? We all experienced it. God's done a little pruning in my life in the latter part of 2018. I mentioned that last week. That Bible verse, it's my theme verse for this year, is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own insight. Acknowledge Him and He'll make your path straight. There have been times, believe it or not, where I've engaged according to my own understanding. And so there's been some pruning, and I've done some serious whining. Don't ask my wife, okay? But seeing glimpses of the goodness of God, glimpses, mind you. And God has taught me a most important lesson again. And that is, before you take action, draw away. Seek to hear the Father's voice as the Spirit leads forward. I want to say this parenthetically. The Christian life is challenging. There is pruning. And when you are challenged and when you are pruned, you need brothers and sisters of faith to encourage you, to support for you, to pray for you. I love it when people just out of the blue text me and say, hey, praying for you today. It means a lot. But I'm wondering, as you're sitting here today, I am wondering where God might be pruning you. Were you experiencing God at work? Sometimes challenging. Perhaps you've made money an idol. And you're experiencing kind of the disciplining hand of God because your finances never seem to work out because you're not put God first and first fruit giving. Maybe it's a relationship that needed to be pruned away. Or perhaps it's an attitude towards others. Resentments. The Father, the vine grower, lovingly, patiently, and sometimes painfully prunes. And some of that stuff that's painful, we really, in a sense, brought it on ourselves. But God's just allowing sin to be sin, and He's calling it. He's calling us on it.
this, are you willing, as a disciple, a beloved child of God, willing to submit to the pruning of God in your life? When we are pruned, it is said we can either become bitter or better. Bitter or better. Bitter is about hardening our hearts towards God, turning from Him because of His discipline, unwilling to submit. Better is about understanding. Even though it's hard to understand, understanding that God is at work, pruning away those things that truly are not life-giving, pruning away those things that we have a better connection to Jesus. And that really brings us to the next point. Life in Jesus, pruning, discipleship is about abiding. It's about abiding in Jesus. This is about deepening our covenant relationship, a relationship of oneness with God through Christ. And the word abide means to remain. Remain. Jesus modeled an abiding relationship with his Father. And it says he modeled that. That's how he discipled them. They saw this incredible connection he had with the Father. Of course, we see Jesus after a season of teaching and ministering and healing. Where does Jesus go? Off into the hills, does he not? He goes off into the hills to hear from the Father. Hearing from the Father, then returning to the world to do God's bidding. If you look at our reading today, abiding is talked about really in three ways. In verse 4, first of all, abiding is talked about abiding in Jesus and remaining, right? This isn't just kind of a once a week or whatever. This is really kind of a steady diet of connecting with God through Jesus on a regular daily basis, however you do that. But it's a regular rhythm of our daily life weekly. I'm told that my great-grandmother was not a very good sleeper. And so she would be, they would see her often in this chair looking out the window with the Bible in her lap. And there she abided with Jesus. Do you have a place, a time? Is there a regular rhythm of your life daily to connect with Jesus? Just be open to the Spirit as the Spirit blesses into your heart the things that are on Jesus' heart. In verse 7, you read about abiding. Jesus says, abide in me, and my words abide in you. The word, of course, incarnate is Jesus. His love, his forgiveness, his crucifixion, his death is being raised up. The word of Jesus abides, but also the words of Scripture allowing. Again, remaining a steady diet of praying and hearing the word as the Spirit seeks to bless truth, mind you, into your life and mine. Are you abiding in the word, the words of Jesus? And then in verse 9, abiding is talked about in terms of abiding in my love, Jesus says. This is like Jesus. He knew the incredible love of his Father. This is about our abiding in the love of God, knowing that we are beloved, no matter what. And then the command then to love one another. That's about choosing to love the unlovable. If we do so, we abide in his love. How's your abiding? Are you drawing away? Do the words of Jesus abide in you? Do you know that you're beloved no matter what? And from that belovedness, that relationship, loving others. It really is about life in Christ, pruning. It's about abiding in Jesus. And then discipleship. An outgrowth of that is about bearing fruit. It's about bearing fruit. Look what Jesus says in verse 8. My Father is glorified by this,
that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Does that mean that we do a whole heck of a lot more? Or does that mean that we draw more deeply into the life of God in Christ? Because truth be known, bearing fruit is meant to be an outgrowth of that vital connection with Jesus. It's the flow, if you will. Jesus said in John's Gospel, verse 19 of chapter 5, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you," think of this, Jesus, second Presbyterian, Son of God, Son can do nothing on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. He wasn't straining. He wasn't kicking God and saying, "God, come on." It was just that sense of connection. That sense of hearing and then doing what the Father called to do in the Father's strength. We can do nothing apart from Christ. I'm talking about, you know, fruit, spiritual fruit. We can do nothing apart from Christ. Only when we abide in Jesus, draw life from God. When we are like Jesus, hearing the Father's voice and abiding in the Word, and by grace, and I can't, God, but you can, when we respond and do what he calls us to do, it's here that we bear fruit. Bearing fruit for Christ isn't so much about what we do. It's about who we are as we go through life. Oh yeah, there's service deeds, there's activities. I'm not dismissing that. There's witness, testimony of your faith. It's first about who we are in Christ, and as Christ then does his work through us in whatever situation we find ourselves. It's here we bear fruit that lasts for eternity. It brings glory to God because we know it's not us, it's God doing his work through us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, his life of faith. I think he lived to be 39 years old. 39 years old. Challenging to be sure. Willing to be pruned from worldly, you know, values and pursuits for the kingdom's sake. He was in prison. And when you read about Bonhoeffer's life in prison, the source of his strength was abiding and hearing the Father speak life into him. People said about Bonhoeffer, there was something about his life. And even though his life every day was threatened, he gave thanks for life in that place. And when they came and got him 2 weeks before Germany was liberated, on his way to the gallows, he said, "This is the end. But for me, the beginning of life. This is the end. But for me, the beginning of life." His life bore much fruit. His writings, who he was to those, as he lived his life of faith, and here we are talking about him today. A significant life, bearing much fruit. Will you be willing to submit to pruning, to have a deeper connection with the true vine, Jesus, divine life? Will you, by his grace, by your prayers, Lord, help me to abide more deeply in you? And as you do so, I can assure you, you will bear fruit, fruit that will last. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Well, Lord, by your grace, you called each and every one of us. Lord, you are good because you are at work in our lives in such a way that we draw life from Jesus, the true vine. We know it's sometimes hard, Lord. Grant us the fullness of your grace, your presence, your peace, your strength. Thank you, God, that you are faithful. Thank you, God, you've called us to a life of significance, to bear fruit, fruit that will last in eternity.